She may be sick.
Here. Be in faith.
Be in faith.
Try this one.
Let us pray.
Here. Look, please. Be in faith.
Heavenly Father.
Try this one. Here.
It is good.
This one works better.
They have heard your word.
Here you go. Try that one.
I'm going to try that one.
Yeah.
It is good to be in your sanctuary.
There you go. That one works well.
It is good to be around beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. You encourage us in so many ways, O Lord. And for that, we are thankful. And so I pray this morning that you would forgive me my sins, for they are great. But we've come here
to hear from Jesus
and him only. In his name I pray. Amen.
And you're writing something.
So we are talking about Transfiguration Sunday, because that's where we are, is Transfiguration Sunday. And I want to point out a couple of quick things to you before
never we
go
tired
too far.
Doing good.
I really do want to point out a couple
never
of things
tired
to you
of doing
get
good.
Too far. Okay, so let's go back to the Old Testament reading. And I'm doing the same thing that Dayton told me he did for his morning prayer. He said, I looked at 1 Kings 9. And I said, how'd that go for you? He said, it's a good passage, but it wasn't the right one. So I want to point out something to you about 1 Kings 19. And the fact that Elijah, a great prophet, he's run away from Jezebel. Now, he's just really done an incredible feat. He is God himself has come down and devoured the offering fire. Even lapping up the water that he poured all around this offering. Very clear that God is Jezebel hears he killed the prophet. She said, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
South, you know, Jezebel. Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he runs. And he runs. And he ends up on this mountain. And God just kind of shakes his head and he goes, oh, Elijah. So here, what we're going to do, Elijah, I want you to go out and I want you to look. And I'm going to come by. Elijah goes out and he's watching. And here comes this hurricane, for lack of a better word, or maybe even a tornado, the way it's described. And it just destroys the mountain, throwing rocks every which way. And I'm guessing Elijah had to duck once or twice. But God wasn't in the wind. Fire comes and it just is, man, get out of here. God wasn't in the fire. Earthquake occurs. I don't know how many of you have ever been in an earthquake. Janet and I were in the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake.
Just buckle up.
7.3. And I got to tell you, the earth shook. And when the earth shakes, you realize that there is nothing on earth that is solid. There is nothing on earth you can depend on except for the Lord. Elijah sees the earthquake. God's not in the earthquake. But then the still, small voice of God appears. And Elijah pulls his shawl, his prayer shawl, his cloak, his mantle over his head. And by the way, this is a commercial from the crafting group. They are in the process of doing prayer shawls and other shawls. So you may want to join them on Thursday morning around 10:30 or so. And I have been assured I get to pick the prettiest one. So back to our program. And so Elijah just realizes he is in the presence of God. And then God asks, I think, one of the most essential questions that can be asked of anyone. Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? You know, Elijah had to stop and think about that and go, Well, first and foremost, Lord, I am here to seek
you.
My prayer is that while you are here this morning, you will sense his presence and that you will hear his word. That's why you're here. Moving right along. There's part of me that thinks I probably should quit with that right there, you know, just walk and sit down. But no, we're not ready.
Like school.
We are here to talk about Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday is an interesting time because there are two of them. Yes, there are two of them. Today is the last Sunday of Epiphany. And the tradition is that always the last Sunday of Epiphany is Transfiguration. I'll give it out in a second. Sunday. But on August the 6th, it is also Transfiguration Day. So you ask, and if you didn't, I did, why are there two? Well, my explanation almost always when the lectionary has something goofy about it, I think that the people in the late 4th, early 6th, early 5th century who came up with the lectionary must have been smoking something at the time. Yeah, they're working on it and they're trying to figure it out and they get to August 6th. With August 6th. I got an idea. Let's make a Transfiguration Day. Cool. Totally forgetting that they'd already done that for the last Sunday of Epiphany. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. The poor lectionary people. I know. When I get to heaven, I have a feeling that they're going to be some of the first people that are going to come. And they're going, you really, really told bad about us. Okay. Well, if you had done it right in the first place, I wouldn't have. But anyway, we'll see. That'll happen later on. Much later on, I hope. So there are some commentators who suggest that there may be a rationale for this. They think that maybe Mark
the other side, yeah,
didn't get it right where he put this particular account in his gospel. I don't agree. I think not. Because I think Mark is very, very specific. And in fact, Mark is not always that specific, but this one he is. When Francis read it this morning, I love it when Francis reads the gospel. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him. Well, stop a second here. What do you mean, 6 days? After 6 days. I hope that when you read your Bible and you come to things like that, go back and look and figure out what happened to the 6 days before. What was it after 6 days? I also, as I've told you, circle in your Bibles when you get to the word but and therefore. Because that then you'll want to go back and look and figure out what is it that he said that he's therefore-ing about. Or what he's taking exception to when he says but. So he says, after 6 days. What after 6 days? After Peter. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Mark that. This is something even Jesus says, Peter, human minds did not give you that. Now, I want to translate that for you. in the original, it says, Peter, you're not all that bright. So you did not come up with this on your own. God gave it to you. He loved Peter.
Oh.
So he gets Peter, James, and John, and he leads them up a high mountain by themselves. So he's going up this mountain. We don't know which mountain it is, by the way. Most commentators say it's probably Mount Hermon. Could have also been Mount Merman. I know they sound a little bit of the same, but they are in different places. But both of them have these beautiful panoramic views. You can see everything around you. So they're up on this mountain, and I'm guessing that they've been climbing up from the valley, and they get Peter's probably going,
oh, are
we there yet?
Sophia,
some of you may have experienced that in, with your children or your grandchildren or just people who bug you. Jesus is not yet. Wait till you get up there. You're going to be amazed. Peter's thinking, oh man, I'm going to be amazed at the view. Now, what's it say? He led them up by the high mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could possibly bleach them. Now, I would say that is an excellent tag phrase for Clorox. Okay, that's, you know... Only God bleaches better than Clorox. Huh? You like that? You heard it here first. Only God bleaches better than Clorox. So he's looking and they're bound there. So let's take a look at this passage now that I've given you that introduction. I want you to notice that there appeared with Jesus Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. Now, think about the two that are picked here, Elijah and Jesus. Well, we know that Elijah, in fact, I was listening this morning on Songs of Joy, which I get from a Raleigh station that is streamed all over the world, and it's a Lutheran program that comes from St. Louis. You betcha, Holly.
Yes, hi.
So they are there. They have this wonderful program.
You got Jay over there.
This morning, they had the Negro spiritual swing low, sweet chariot. Lord.
This one goes to
We know that that's Elijah.
Okay.
Elijah was carried up before death. He went up. He gets to heaven. Smells a little bit like smoke, but still, nonetheless, he gets to heaven before he dies. And he is there. Second person, however, died. And that's Moses. So why is Moses there? Well, because the only other person who didn't die and went to heaven, and if you get this question on Jeopardy, and you get it right, I get 10%, and that is Enoch. Enoch didn't. I love the story about Enoch. He and God are walking along, and they're talking, and they're talking, and God looks and says,
let's you go that way.
Let's just keep walking on back to my place. Enoch goes, okay, I don't have anything planned for tonight. So, that's what they do. He walked with God.
They go that way.
Not Moses. So why these two? Well, I'm going to tell you why. First of all, Elijah represents the prophets. He represents the prophets. Second of all, Moses represents the law. Duh. I mean, he wrote the first five books. That's called the Torah. And the Torah is the law. That's what he represents the law. What does Jesus do when he comes?
You are.
He fulfills
and
the prophets and the law.
The big one is.
Yes. See, Peter, James, and John get to see this incredible miracle and the fulfilling of the prophets and the law.
Yes.
Secondly, I'd like you also to notice that Peter doesn't get it. You know, sometimes I do feel like Paul, because Paul is often in his head. Become very cognitively driven. And doesn't often act on not Peter. Peter is the chief blurter Peter's watching this and he's listening to them talk about fulfilling the law and the prophets and about where Jesus is going next and what's going to happen. And Peter just goes, Lord, we'll put three tents up. One for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Isn't that a great idea?
Cool.
Yeah,
all the time, huh? They make you write all the time.
I would have guessed that Jesus looked at Elijah and Moses going, what am I going to do with him?
They make you write your numbers.
I'm hoping that either Moses or Elijah said, don't worry, he'll be okay. He's just afraid. Just afraid. You notice that some people, when they're afraid, they just start talking. Just talk some more. There are other people that when they're afraid, they just...
Do they make you do addition?
That's not Peter. Peter's the talker.
Like one plus one or two?
What?
Do they make you do addition?
One plus
well, here's
one
or the two? Problem. What Peter wants to do
plus one
is, unfortunately, the wrong thing.
Equals two.
Yeah.
No.
See,
but
Peter wants to build three kids. He thinks this is just amazing.
It's okay.
I can't believe I'm here. Now, I don't know whether he was thinking about the possible royalties that would go with that. Could become an attraction. Attraction and, sell tickets.
Equals
this is the mountain. I don't think so.
Yeah. You could do it on your fingers.
No.
See?
Peter wants to build three tents.
Equal four. Right, very good. Because
it's not about Elijah and Moses. It's about Jesus.
I'll let you count on your fingers.
Also want you to
but that's a good way to know.
The Father has to intervene.
I can make something pretty blue.
Whether he said something before he said this, like, Peter, shut up.
Blue.
I don't know. We're not told. But he does do this.
What?
One equals what?
And it, by the way, it does say... Peter says all this because he didn't know what to say.
You can figure it out. There's four.
I love that.
That's one.
Do you know people like that?
One,
they have no idea what they're saying.
Five, right.
They just
right.
keep going on and on and on. So anyway, he says, our Father says, this
one
will
do.
Listen to him. To a certain degree, what he's saying is, got it all wrong. What you have to understand is it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. There was a rector friend of mine that every now and then he wanted to make sure that everybody understood that.
Six, seven.
And he will just stop in the middle of something. He says, I want to remind you, it's all about Jesus. When in doubt,
plus one.
Peter probably had a little bit of a
seven.
Coming down on
that. Eight.
I want you to notice something on the side road here, by the way, that they're up on the mountain. And it says, all of a sudden, a cloud comes down. Overshadowing them. Now, you look and you think, oh wow, that's quite a miracle. Well, yes and no. See, the problem with high mountains is that without even any notice whatsoever, the cloud cover can drop to the top of the ground. There was a woman who was a manager who worked for me when we were in San Francisco. She and her fiance were going to get married. Well, they did. They got married on Maui. You want to pick a place? Why not Maui? Hello. And they decided they wanted to do it on the top of the mountain. She had her hair done up beautifully, at least according to the pictures that I showed before the wedding. They got up there to the mountaintop. And the clouds just fell.
Yes.
And the pictures during the wedding are, you know, kind of a little foggy.
Can write something?
And wet. And you see that beautiful hair turn from beautiful.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
And from straight
to beautiful. You must learn a lot at school.
This happens. Clouds do come down. In her case, they did not hear the Lord say anything.
Oh, right.
Other than, how's the wedding going on the mountaintop? So this happens. And Lord does deal with this.
Yeah, 13.
Finally, I want you to notice that they look after the voice. And by the way, that's what we heard with our reading of the New Testament this morning. Is Peter talking about the voice? I'll come back to that in a second. They look, and there's no longer anybody there but Jesus. Yeah, I wish I had my phone. I had to take some pictures. Or whatever. No, too late. Too late. There's Jesus there. Is that so bad? It's Jesus that's there. I love the fact that he tells them not to say anything. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I also want to point out to you something about Mark. You see, Mark writes the gospel based on his discussions with Peter. Mark is, Bible scholars are convinced about this.
Very good.
Believe that Mark once Paul is executed, he was executed first because he was a Roman citizen. So he got to be executed by cutting off his head. It's a privilege. But anyway, he gets executed. Mark then goes from Paul to Peter. You remember Paul says, bring Mark with you because he is profitable to me.
Pretty soon you'll go and
get executed. Mark goes over to Peter and he says to Peter,
like, what?
Tell me about your time with the Lord. Tell me everything you can. And he does. And so Mark has these accounts. It's one of the reasons, by the way, those of you that were, I know this is a repeat for those of you that met Wednesday nights where we talked about the making of the New Testaments. And by the way, you can still come to that after we finish Lent. Because we did not get to the epistles. So we just dealt with the gospels. But we know that Mark is pretty much 100% from Peter.
No. If you do
we know that. Well, one of the ways we know that is look at 2 Peter. He says, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice came to him by majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born."
No, no, not on the wall.
We were with him on the
wall. No, not the wall.
Is that on the board? Scripture.
The board.
Love that.
It won't erase on the wall.
Yeah.
Finally, I want to point out to
up
you
there, yes, yeah, pretty good.
He charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Get it on you. Don't cross your eyes.
You see in Scripture where Jesus has done something and he tells them, now don't tell anybody. So he heals the lame man.
Don't cross your eyes.
Who has been lame forever. And the lame man gets up and he goes, finally, I learned the tango.
Oh.
He he's healed. And Jesus said, but don't tell anybody. Now, I want you to notice something at each one of those.
Who said that?
First of all, do you think that the lame man had to tell anybody? Really? This is the guy who's sitting, begging for how many years? And all of a sudden he's standing there going, bum, 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 bum. They're looking at him, they go, what in the world happened?
In faith.
He says, well, I was healed. Well, that's evident. Who healed you? Well, Jesus did. Jesus does this a lot. He tells them, he says, don't tell anybody. One of the things I do when people are in the hospital, especially if they're getting ready to have surgery, and sometimes it's right as they're getting the anesthetic, sometimes it's not, but I'll tell them, I say, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to not think about bunny rabbits. Somebody's getting ready to cut on me. And you want me to not think about bunny rabbits? That's right. Whatever you do, don't think about bunny rabbits. Bunny rabbits. Uh-huh. Don't think about bunny rabbits. I get to greet them afterwards after they've had surgery and talking with them a little bit. And I said, well, how'd it go? I can't believe it. As they're putting me under, I'm thinking about bunny rabbits. Isn't that cool? You know, we are so easily manipulated. Bad Steve.
I erased it.
So, Jesus does the same thing. He says, I don't want you to tell
our brothers.
Anybody. What do you think happened when Peter got out of the mountain? He goes straight to Andrew, his brother, and he says, Andrew, you can't tell anybody, but, and he tells him the whole thing. I love it. You know, it's really kind of interesting that maybe one of the best ways to share the gospel. Don't tell anybody. But you know what they missed? And this is interesting. Because he told them not to tell anybody, they missed the last part.
19 plus 2.
Until the Son of Man
20.
Has risen. Have you ever had, you know, you're taking instructions down from somebody and you're trying to make sure you got it right and you miss something? Now with me, it's always the most important piece. So at the end, and I'm looking at these four screws. Where'd these four screws come from? You know, I have to go back and look, and I end up taking the whole thing apart.
22.
I have to take the whole thing apart.
22, yeah.
And these guys don't remember it. They don't remember it until well after the Son of Man has risen.
Ooh. Ouch.
I'm sorry about that. Amen.
Amen.